Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He has so much to say to us, His people. He loves us so much. There are things happening in the spirit realm that man would be amazed at. And I thank God for all of it. God is mightily moving by His Spirit. When I say that, I mean it fresh every time. God is contending for us. He's helping us go forward. He loves us so much. And I love His people. And I thank God for all that He reveals to me, all that He's helping me to understand. There are things happening in the spirit realm right now, in real time. Angels are moving. And I don't say that lightly. Today is Labor Day, September the 6th, Monday, September the 6th, 2021. And I thank God for that. Everybody that labors, especially those who labor in love, you know, they labor in the kingdom. The Lord said, pray for laborers, that He'll send laborers to His field, to His harvest. People that will work with people, not just people that will preach to them, but people that will labor with them. That's important. And I love to labor on Labor Day. This is a labor of love, this broadcast. And I thank God that we recognize Labor Day for those who really work to make the country better and to make society better. Some people just have a job, but then there are those who have a career. And their work is also a mission. It's just the way you process it. When you set out to do good, you can do good by doing your work. Everything is important. God notices everything. But if you think this world is busy, you ought to see the spirit realm. I thank God for it. The Lord loves us, and He's coming back soon. And He cares about His people. And the Lord put on my heart Isaiah chapter 12. Now God have always been good, but people didn't always know Him. I was telling my mother-in-law yesterday that in the Exodus, people, they looked at God as if He was Pharaoh. Now this is why I say that. There's no scripture that say that. But in studying the scriptures, I noticed something after the Lord taught me the definition of trust. Now, one day, I was listening to Mark 11 I got the Bible app on my phone. I was listening to it at work. Well, back then, I used to use an MP3 player. I was probably listening to it on that. But I heard Mark 11. And when it got down to the part where Jesus explained how faith works, in like maybe Mark 11, 20, 23, the Lord spoke to me and said, faith is a definer. And that's another definition. Now, He used to give me definitions. He gave me definitions starting in the 90s. I asked Him what the word virtue, that was the first word I believe I asked Him a definition of. He said, virtue is the amount of God's word in your heart. Because I wasn't satisfied with the dictionary meaning, the Hebrew meaning, or the Greek meaning. I said, it's something else that He's referencing. Because Jesus felt virtue go out of Him. Peter said, add to your faith virtue. I said, Lord, what's your definition of this word? And He said, it's the amount of my word in your heart. So this is the thing. People use language. I started realizing people use language according to their desires. When man fell away from God, you have less word, even though they are still valuable words or valid words. The meaning of people don't use it that way to talk about God when they love the world. So even Hebrew and Greek meanings, they lose their touch. They use the way people use words sway the definition. It's like the word, you know, coming up in the 70s, the word bad meant good or outstanding. If something was bad, that's a bad ride. That means it was outstanding. You know, then they used the word cool. If it was cool, that was outstanding or over the top, you know. And then in the 90s and 2000s, they used to use the word rad, like radical, short for radical. It became a word because of the way people use it. You understand? So the reference, the closest reference was virtue. But I asked the Holy Spirit, now see, the Hebrew and Greek, they still have the same meaning. I'm not trying to change their meanings, but I asked the Lord, what was his definition? So I asked, so he answered. So if you go look, try to find his definition in any book, it's not going to be there unless you ask him. But I'm giving it to you now. You can ask him if he told me that if you want to. I wish you would, because God's word is good. It's good to have, if you have any question about anything somebody tell you that God said, go ask the Lord. Especially if I tell you, I want you to be on point. I'm not trying to show off, but the word, when he gave me that definition, it changed my life. I learned something. If I want to do something, I'll fill my heart with a part of God's word that's going to get me in victory. So if I'm going to battle, I don't want a few bullets in my gun. I want enough to do the job. So I want enough word in my heart to tackle whatever it is I'm doing and still have joy and peace. See, you can have just enough joy to get the job done. That's survival mode. Or you can thrive. You can have enough word to get the job done, stop Satan, edify your brother, and still have peace and enjoy your own life. It's just how much do you want to take in. So I take in more than I need. My ministry strategy changed. I used to study the word to preach a message. I would fill my heart with enough just to preach. Then after I preached, I felt drained. And the Lord told me in those days, whenever you preach, go back and study what you taught to replenish it. See, when he gave me that word virtue, I started practicing greater. It helped me in a lot of ways. Greater forms of wisdom came to me. I learned to protect what God was doing by the word. And in the last days, you know, the five wise virgins had the oil in their lamp. They had the word in their heart, while the other ones let the word get out. And when the danger came, they didn't know what to do. They collapsed. And they got caught off guard. And God couldn't take them to heaven. He couldn't rapture them. And they went sideways. They didn't stay on the narrow path. And they were virgins. They were in the kingdom at one point, but then they didn't feel that, they didn't do what was wise for themselves. If a man is wise, he's wise for himself. You have to be wise if you're going to live. I'm not saying we work for salvation, but we work out our salvation. Salvation was given to us. We received it by grace. But we still share the responsibility of working our salvation out. And then strong bear up the infirmities of the weak. Help our brothers in need so that they don't lose. My pastor said, pray for me that my faith fail not. He's a wise man. Are you going to trust yourself to everything when there are people around you that can pray? And he's a very strong man. He's the last person I think to pray for that his faith fail not. But, you know, that's wisdom. And no matter how you look at it, that's wisdom. When you're fighting something as diabolical as Satan and as smart as he is at deception, it's very important to pray that your faith fail not. I asked the Lord to help protect me from myself. Because I said, Lord, I don't want to ever drift off into some form of strife or something, some legality that I'm off track and don't know it. I said, I want everything that I do to be of you. I want everything of Satan to be gone out of my life. And I say that continually. I started saying that I would do all that's in his heart and everything that's like Satan's got to go. All of it. Anything that'll make Satan happy, I don't want it in my life. Now, the word after he gave me the definition of the word faith, he said faith is definer. So that made me curious about to ask about trust. I said, Lord, what is trust? What's your definition of trust? He said, trust is reliance. I said, what's the difference between trust and faith? He said, faith is trust before you see. Trust is faith after you've seen. And that made a lot of sense to me. He also said, faith is a noun. Faith is a verb. Trust is a noun. And that's when I said, come on, Lord, break it down for me. He said, trust is faith before you see. Faith is trust before you see. Trust is faith after you've seen. And then he told me how the dynamics of how trust works. He said, trust causes, when you trust God, it's because you trust him because of the past, after you've seen, after you've experienced the Lord. That's why we trust a plumber or a mechanic, you know, or a carpenter or a contractor. We trust them because of the past. Somebody we know referenced them, or they show us their work. We trust them because of the past. Somebody we know and love had a good experience or continue a good experience. We trust them because of the past. We've seen their work. Same thing with God. Now, believing God is taking him at face value without the past. But trust is going on his word because of the past. And both very necessary. If God tells you to do something and you're in agreement, well, you're taking them at face value and you're happy about it, so you're going to do it. You're excited. You can see it. But then there are times you can't see. You don't know what they expect. You don't know how it's going to turn out. You don't even know if it's something you really want to involve yourself with. But because he said it, and you always have a good rapport with God, you do it. That's trust. And sometimes people don't go forward. They don't proceed. Trust helps you proceed when you're reluctant. And the reason these words are so important and the definitions are important is because they help us in life. Now, I said earlier, the Hebrews saw God as Pharaoh. They had the ability to believe him, but they never really trusted him as a nation. They trusted God through man. They obeyed him. They were able to obey him, but they didn't trust him. Every time they didn't have something, they thought that they accused God of being like Pharaoh. Now, they didn't say it that way. They said, he brought us out here to die. That's something Pharaoh would do. Then they were hungry. They didn't have food. We had leeks and onions in Egypt. Now we don't have anything but this manna. Well, first God gave them manna. Then they cried again. We tired of the manna. They accused God. All they had to do was ask for whatever it is they wanted. They never realized that after all that God had done, drowned the armies of Egypt in the Red Sea. They crossed it. They looked back and their armies were gone, flooded with the water. His chariot wheel stuck in the muck. Then the water went on top of them. Their army is gone. Nobody to bother them no more. Before that, the fire by day and the cloud by day and the fire by night. They could see their enemies through the fire, and the enemies couldn't see them, and they knew it. They were protected by God. All these wonderful miracles and signs and wonders happening all around them, and they think God is going to do them dirty? Really? He going to bring you out there to let you starve and be without water? And God did. Moses was supposed to speak to the rock, but the people made him so mad he hit the rock, and God still gave him water. Not only that, they got the manna, and it sustained them. They didn't lose weight. their shoes didn't wear out. But they still didn't trust him. We want meat. Then they ate meat till it came out their nose. Then it's time to go take the land. They listen to the 10 foolish spies. No, we can't go. We'll get killed. Then they had to wander. God said, now you're going to wander in the desert for 40 years till you die. And your children going to take the land. Then they wanted to fight. All of a sudden, now they got the boldness to go. And they tried to fight and got whooped. They never trusted God. When the Lord taught me about faith and trust, there's something else he taught me to help me see this. A friend of mine died. And I read a scripture at his funeral. And the Lord gave me this word of exhortation to speak. He said, the first authority figures shape the way the children see God. And I thought about Israel. This made a lot of sense. Why didn't Israel just join God? They left Egypt, but they kept the concepts of Egypt. And they never really got rid of them. And the enemy used their attachment to Egypt and their fear of Egypt against them. The way we see God, they shape the way society see God today. The Exodus Israelites. Because the nation, they kept fooling with idolatry. They didn't fully trust God and drive out all the inhabitants. And the Lord showed them, if you don't do it, they're going to be like smoke in your eyes and thorns in your sides. And, you know, and they continually did the wrong thing. When Joshua was alive, they obeyed. The Lord said, who should go up first? And it said Judah should go up first. Then Judah went up, they won. They began to win great victory. After Joshua died, every conflict, they say, well, who should go up? Judah should go up. Then Israel went up and they got whooped by a much smaller tribe. This is why, if you trust God, it's going to be perfect. If you trust yourself, it's not going to be perfect. It might be good or acceptable, but it's not going to be nothing close to what God would do. And I say that boldly because every time God told me to do something and I felt reluctant, I trusted him. And when I trusted him, it worked. Then I said, I'm glad I did it. Before, I was nervous about it or apprehensive about it or sometimes even afraid. But the Lord, perfect love drives out fear. I would go and pray in the Holy Ghost. I had a vow that I would obey God, so I had to do it whether I wanted to or not, because that's what I said I would do. And I talk about that all the time, so I'm going to continue. And after doing things, it works. Now, this is the point of all of this. God is good. He's greater than our perceptions. He's greater than the perception of society. And you know that by reading the Word, by studying and receiving God's Word as revelation. Not just as surface knowledge, but receiving the revelation of the Word helps you see who He is. And He's good. And God longs for this. And people, faith looks to God. And if you have faith in him, you can do something that you normally could not do. Now, Isaiah 12, it says, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength, my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the well of salvation. You know, therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you praise the Lord. Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. This is an awakening to those who didn't know God. This is an awakening to the remnant of Israel. Also to the Gentiles who get to know him for themselves. Getting to know God on a personal level for yourself is very important to you. Now this is what has been happening. Children take cues from the parents. Parents take cues from society. In American, if you try to look at God through American politics, if you try to understand God through the lens of American politics, you're going to fail. American politics, people don't understand how it really is. The people are the king. The president, the House, the Senate, and the judicial system, they're the servants. But people look to the president. We elect that. We choose our president. We can hire and fire our president. Once we elect him, if we don't like him, we can vote him out and vote somebody else in that we like. We can talk about it. We can think about it. People in this country talk about the government. We have free speech, and sometimes people, they speak foolishly. Just because you have free speech, you don't have the right to tear somebody's character down. That's divisive. And people don't see that. People judge people's heart without thinking about how dangerous it is. Jesus said, judge not, that you be not judged. And people judge. A politician is a person. And when they're corrupt, and when they're doing corrupt things, God will expose it. You never hate the soul. That's dangerous and don't get in strife with them. That's dangerous too. And don't walk in strife with anyone for any reason. And that concerns me greatly. Just as an aside, I'm just doing this on the while I'm talking about it, since I brought it up. But it's dangerous to be in strife with people, because if you don't forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you. I'm not talking about forgive people that may have done you wrong. I'm talking about people that did do you wrong. Forgive them. That keeps your slate clean. God forgave you. You forgive them. They may not deserve it. Neither did you. Neither did I. But he forgave us. So we're going to forgive. That's why we forgive. And it works. What kind of heart is it that will retain somebody else's sins and yours have been forgiven? That's not right. And God he won't call it right. It's dangerous to not forgive people that offend you. Now, but the problem is, you can vote authority in and you can vote authority out. So people in this society, the American problem is, they can select what they want to hear about God and reject what they don't want to hear about God. You know, they asked... They tried to get, what was Isaiah, Jeremiah, I think it was Isaiah. Minister, preach smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Now that's what they told their prophets. That's why they were blinded and that's why they went to hell. But Isaiah 12 is the people that gets it. They receive what God is doing and they receive him as he is. Very important. But most people die in their rudeness, in their lack of knowledge, in their lack of, when you don't see God right, and you don't have his word in your heart, what do you have in your heart and you that you're going by? That's why people go to hell. That's why they can't go to heaven. That's why they never will go to heaven. But when you study the word with the intent to learn and do it, it changes everything. The concepts of God are very beautiful, and the tragedy is people don't know it. They don't know what God is like. and they don't understand him. You know, there's no peace to the wicked. Daniel said that the wicked will do wickedly and they won't understand. Why? Because they don't see God right. They never listen. They don't receive his word when they're spoken. They go by what they see society do, just like Israel did. They never learned who God was for himself. And if you don't do that, you'll never trust him right. And you'll never enter into greater things. You'll never enter the secret place that David talked about. David entered it through worship, and he loved God, and he got to know him. You can't get to know God looking to people that don't know God. That can't happen. But you can get to know God if you follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Let him guide and be teachable. Ephesians 1 verse 4. He said, let me back up. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Look at what God is really doing to people who love him. Watch this. According as he has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now look at this. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise and glory who first trusted in Christ. You know, in whom ye also trusted, there's that word, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed unto the Holy Spirit, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption's purchase, the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise and glory of unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. He said, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. He worked it in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Ephesians 1 is very powerful, and that's a synopsis of what God has done for us. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. You know, you have to consider what God is doing. God is up to something good. He loves his people. He cares about us in every way. And he's coming back. I told you, heaven is busy. St. John 4, verse 17. See, he put us in heavenly places. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Then he said this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So, the likeness of God, we learn it if we want to. Then Luke chapter 12. I love this one. He pointed something very awesome out. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. It says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to give you not just salvation, but the whole kingdom, a relationship, the guidance of the Holy Ghost, everything. So, when you consider how life works, look beyond what man is doing, but look to God. Get a reference of who he is and who he said he is, and ignore what people say God is. Overlook them. Because your life depends on it. And I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to mighty move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus.